Greetings and welcome to episode 34 of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. I am your host, David Guerra, former member of Alpha Company, 6th Battalion, 502nd Infantry, Berlin Brigade, United States Army. And hey, you know what? Let me be the first of many people to wish you a very happy and wonderful holiday season. Can you believe it? I mean, we're here officially. It's underway. The 2011th holiday season. There we go. Wow. So again, happy holidays. And listen, I also want to thank you for taking the time to join me today on this, the greatest podcast exclusively dedicated to all the men and women that ever served in and supported the mission of the United States Army's most illustrious and most prestigious unit, the Berlin Brigade and the Berlin Command. A great big BerlinBrigade.com thank you to those active duty military personnel listening around the world. Hey, you know what? Keep up the good work. Stay safe, stay sharp, and come home soon. Hey, you know what? Drop us a note. Let us know where you're listening from. Want to give some shout out to some unit out there. So, hey, you're out there, drop us a note. Just say, hey, this is so-and-so from here. And, well, you don't have to tell me exactly. I don't need grid coordinates, but hey, let me know you're listening. So listen, without further delay, let's get episode 34 underway.
It's time for the special announcements.
The first notice is in a form of a phone call, and that came in on the BerlinBrigade.com hotline, and you can call in always 413-BRIGADE or 413-274-4233. And hey, no drunk calling, please. Thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, no, seriously. This first call, it comes from Manny English, and Manny is a former member of the Berlin Brigade's 592nd Signal Support Company. There you go. Too many S's. He was there from 59 to 60. And since then, Manny has done a number of other things. But a couple is he's written a couple of books. Another author among us. Wow. Who would have thought? So what he's doing is he dropped me a note. And I said, you know what, Manny, why don't you just call in, leave us a brief message, and then we'll put it here on the podcast. And then, you know, you promote your what you want to do. And he did it. He called in, and next thing you know, he's on the podcast, which is right now. It seems that he's going to be in the Fort Worth, Texas area over the Thanksgiving weekend to do a book signing. And you know what? Let Manny tell you. Here's Manny.
Hello, Dave, and thank you for allowing me to make a few comments on the podcast. I'm Manuel L. English, served in Berlin in 1959 and 60 with the 592nd Signal Company at Andrew Barracks, always interested in finding ways to make contacts with those who served there as well. Dave asked me to remind the group here that I will be doing a book signing in Fort Worth at the main library, Central Fort Worth Library, on November the 26th. That's in Fort Worth, Texas, around 10 o'clock in the morning. And I will be signing my new book, which is titled A Free Nation Under God. Texas, A Free Nation Under God, as well as a book I published about a year ago called An Imaginative Existence. The Texas book should be of interest to those who are Texans or conservatives or are ones that might understand why Texas would want to secede from the Union. So this is a fictional story about such occurring in a contemporary setting. So if you're in the Fort Worth area at that time, or if you want to contact me, I'm Manny English at yahoo.com altogether. I'd like to hear from you. Thank you so much. And again, thank you, Dave. Goodbye.
As for the next announcements, first, I do hope everyone is enjoying the fall 2011 and the 2011 holiday season as it's well underway. I want you to know that there's plenty of great stuff here on tap at the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. There are a couple of very interesting and unique interviews that are lined up, so get ready to kick it into high gear as soon as, well, we're still going to be in the holiday season, but so get ready. It's going to be awesome. And last but not least, a very special thank you to you, and to you that means anybody and everybody that has made a purchase from the Commerce page over at BerlinBrigade.com or our Cafe Press site. You acquired all that cool Berlin Brigade gear. Thank you very much. Thank you for your purchase, and we hope to keep churning out some pretty good stuff here in the coming months. And so again, if you haven't gotten something, get something. It's pretty cool. A mug, a shirt, something, anything. It's pretty neat. Nice little memento. I know it's not from the gift shop there at McNair, but hey, you know what? We can do what we can do, and this is what we're doing. So remember, with every purchase, you help to continue the support, maintenance, and upkeep of the BerlinBrigade.com operations here at the BerlinBrigade.com command headquarters. Again, I thank you for your support, as it certainly does go a long way. Thank you. Folks, before we start the interview portion of this episode, I want to give a shout-out to our past guest, Dr. Eric Offerman from the Embassy of the Federal Republic of Germany, for sharing his thoughts, words, and above all his time on the evening of October 1st, 2010 at the residence of the Ambassador to the United States from the Federal Republic of Germany. Thank you, sir. Had it not been for the fall of the Berlin Wall on November 9, 1989, and the subsequent unification that following October in Episode 34, this episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast would not have been possible. That's right. This is the new tradition, the annual Where Were You When the Fall, When the Wall Fell episode. And eventually, it's so new a tradition, I'm still having trouble saying it. But, you know, this is the episode where we get guests, where the guests over the past year tell us in their own words where they were, what they were doing, and what they thought when they first found out that the Berlin Wall fell. So this is it. Let's get it started.
Take your seats, because it's time for a special guest interview.
So in early January, we sat down and we talked with Eric Stange. He was the director, or he is the director, of After the Wall, A World United, and it aired on PBS. And if you haven't checked it out, go to pbs.org and type pbs.org/thewall, and you'll see what's going on there. Now, we sat down with Eric, and we had a great conversation about the After the Wall, A World United. And part of that, and every guest gets asked the same question. And Eric, where were you and what were you doing when the wall fell down?
Well, I had just had my first baby. I should say my wife had just had her first baby. And so we were pretty wrapped up with that. But I have to say, what I do remember is holding this infant, brand new infant, and the first one I'd ever had, and thinking that peace was breaking out all over the world, and maybe it has something to do with my kid being born. I know that's a kind of self-centered way to think of it, but it did feel like a wonderful turn of events that as my child is born, one of the most potent symbols of war and division and danger was disappearing. So that's my association.
Wow. Pretty cool. And, wow. Where were you? I'm sorry. Where were you?
Oh, okay. I was in my house in Arlington, Massachusetts. Oh. And so just watching the news, I think because I'm having a brand new baby, I hadn't really been reading the papers or anything. I wasn't paying that much attention to the outside world in that first little week or so of having a new baby. Mm. And but I couldn't avoid that news, of course. And I probably had the TV on, and I just, that's what I remember. I thinking, isn't this amazing? All around, isn't this amazing?
Our second guest is Barbara Engelbrecht, who was a military spouse, still a mother, still a spouse, too, and was a civilian employee in Berlin and also happens to be my mother-in-law. Now, when we talked to Barbara back on February 4th of this year, that was on episode 28, here's what she had to say when I asked her where she was when the wall fell.
So to tell you what, now let me come up to the next question, because now, you know, you've left Germany and it's late summer, early August of 86. You were there, for a while, and, November 1989 happens. Where were you? What were you doing when the wall fell down?
Well, I was there in Huntsville, Alabama, working for the government, working in, civilian payroll, and probably watching on the news what was happening in Berlin and in Germany at that time. Very anxious to see and excited to see what was happening. And pretty much that's all I remember.
Our third guest was formerly assigned to Alpha Company, 4th Battalion, 6th Infantry, and now noted author. It is none other than Charles R. Sledge. And in episode 29 on March 6th of this year, we talked about his baseball training manual called The Batter's Out. And we talked to Charles about where he was and what he did when he found out the Berlin Wall fell.
You know what? It's kind of a standard question, and I ask everybody, and you know what the question is. It's where were you when the wall fell down, and you know, basically, where were you, and what were you doing, and what were your impressions, your thoughts?
Wow. I was here in Pittsburgh when the wall came in, on and came down. I remember when Reagan came on and said, Gorbachev, tear down the wall. And to all of our surprise and amaze, he followed through with it. And then we're watching these scenes of they're tearing down the wall. The wall is collapsing. And I remember carving initials on parts of the wall. You know what I'm saying? I had photographs of the wall before it came down. And these people are running from East Berlin into West Berlin. And when we were over there, wasn't nobody getting from East Berlin to West Berlin or from West Berlin to East Berlin. There's even stories of people being killed trying to climb the wall or fly their little planes off the rooftops over the walls with the East German guards and the towers. Anytime we did maneuvers that was too loud close to the wall, they had to bring the four powers together, the French, the British, the Americans, and the Russians to stop us from going to combat over shooting blanks around town. You know, so wow, that was, and then me being over there, us being over there, Dave, it kind of like personally connected us with history. I mean, we knew we was a part of that, whether no matter where we were. You know what I'm saying? Our hearts were into that place and those people in the wall when it came down. I mean, we fought for the West Berliners and. And we were even standing tall for the sadness of the East Berliners, how they were kind of kept in captivity on the other side of that wall. So even though people kind of like thought we were just standing for West Berliners, we were standing for East Berliners too. And when that wall came down and it brought West Berliners and East Berliners and together, man, that's what America stands for. And to me, that was the victory that we don't get credit for serving in the Cold War. You know, a lot of people, oh, you guys didn't do anything. You guys weren't in the war. They don't understand the nuclear holocaust that was at hand and how we won that war without a bullet being fired. You know what I'm saying? And the end of that war, the coming down of the Berlin Wall, told the world our victory of why we were there. We were able to get accomplished what we were sent there to do, even though no one see it. You know what I'm saying? That wall coming down was a part of us being there doing our job.
Most certainly.
And I was so proud. I was so proud of that moment.
Yep. A lot of us, same thing. I'd be hard pressed to find somebody that wasn't.
Yeah, I don't even understand what the Cold War was about.
Yeah.
How I don't even know if they even know what was going on here with the. Remember when the computer system malfunctioned? I don't know if you heard about that,
yes.
Where it showed that we were under fire by Soviet nuclear missiles, and Reagan was in the White House trying to decide whether to push the button, the red button, to fire back. And he made the decision not to fire back, only to find out that it was a computer malfunction. We were that close from destroying this whole world.
Yep.
Through the Cold War in Berlin, and nobody even realizes it. So I was proud when that wall came down.
Our fourth interviewee is none other than the author of an awesome trilogy of books, A Trace of Smoke, A Night of Long Knives, and A Game of Lies. Rebecca Cantrell graduated from John F. Kennedy Schule in 1986. Even though she was an exchange student, her time in Berlin made such an impact on her life that she decided to write about Berlin. And along the way, she even penned a 21st century retelling of the horror classic Dracula. And which is currently as an exclusive iPhone app known as iDracula. And it just happens to be one of the top-selling horror-related apps this past Halloween season, so congratulations, Rebecca. And, well, I do have one thing to say, and that is I'm still waiting for the Android version of the iDracula app. Oh, well, maybe next Halloween. And, well, you know, that's what we talked about. We talked about those books, and we talked about that in episode 30 back in April 23rd of this year. And her response to the question of where she was when the wall fell was interesting. Here, take a listen.
Okay, now it's your turn. And I ask everybody this, so it's your turn. Where were you when the wall came down? What were you doing? What were your impressions? I mean, what did you first think of?
Well, I was in Pittsburgh when the wall came down. I had left Berlin about 6 months before. No, not even 6 months, like 4 months before. And I'm still depressed because it would have been amazing to have been there that night. So I went into school. I didn't have TV at the time. I was staying in, you know, some tiny apartment in Pittsburgh. And I showed up at school, and a friend of mine who had also been an exchange student came up and said, the Berlin Wall fell last night. And I looked at him and I said, oh, you're crazy. That's not true. And he's like, no, it is. And this was before the, you know, the internet and had news on it and things like that. So there was no way for him to prove it. So we spent like 5 minutes arguing about whether or not the Berlin Wall had, in fact, come down. And then other people started filtering into class. And of course, they had heard the news. And I immediately, as soon as I got out of class, I called Berlin, which was quite expensive at the time, to verify it. And I called the family that I'd stayed with, which was an American Pan Am family. The father was a pilot for Pan Am. And they had gone out when the wall came down, and they had actually chipped off a piece of the wall for me, which they sent to me, and I now have on my shelf. And I just couldn't believe that it had come down, because when I was there right after the Tiananmen Square, during and after the Tiananmen Square massacre, when the Chinese cracked down on their protesters and ran them over with tanks. And at that time, one of the only nations that congratulated the Chinese was East Germany. And I thought that, you know, that they would never let protesters win and knock down the wall. I was, you know, I just couldn't believe it. I would have thought that they would have cracked down and just, you know, started shooting people. I was just floored. I'm still kind of floored. But we had a class in JFK, I'm sure Teresa was in it as well, in our senior year. We had a history class, and one of the sections of the history class was called the Berlin Question, will the wall ever come down? And there were probably, I don't know, 50 people in the class, and there was only one kid whose name was Robert. I can't remember his last name, unfortunately. And he felt that the wall would come down in our lifetimes, and all the rest of us thought he was crazy. So, Robert, you were right, and we were wrong.
Yeah, I know. It's, again, same thing on our side of what we were doing in Berlin. It's one of those that everybody I've talked to, nobody has really thought that it would happen, as a lot of people really thought. And I at some point, I really believe that even now we would still be under dealing with a divided city, and there would still be a Berlin Brigade and a French sector and an American sector and even a Soviet sector. But, hey, times change, and they change for the better, and that's a very good thing.
And they changed fast. I mean, I really didn't expect to see it happen like that. I have a friend who married an East German pilot, and he flew for the East German airline. And he said he was completely floored at the time. So he was flying, you know, like to East Bloc countries, in Russia and stuff like that. And that when they started protesting and the wall came down, he didn't believe it either. You know, on the other side, he'd never thought that would happen in his lifetime. And we watched the movie. Have you ever watched the movie Goodbye, Stalin?
Yes. It's set in East Berlin?
Yes, it's set in East Berlin about when the wall comes down. And I watched it with my friend who grew up in Berlin, and I became friends with her in college or in high school. And her husband was a former East German. And so we all watched it together in 2006. And it was so strange watching the movie with someone who was on the other side. I mean, you know, he was doing quite well under the Soviet occupation. He was a pilot. He was able to fly wherever he wanted. He was making good money. And then when the wall came down, that all ended. And the West German Pilots Association wouldn't let him or any of the other pilots fly. And so, you know, this career he had prepared for his entire life and had done was closed to him. And he had gone on, and he eventually became a technical writer, and now I think he works for Rolls-Royce, so he's doing okay. But it was this weird moment. For him, it represented, you know, the failure of this country, this government that he had grown up with, that he was prospering under, had just changed, you know, out from under him. And he was able to deal with that, but I think there are a lot of people, particularly who were older when the wall came down, you know, who didn't have the kind of experience that they expected. So it was very interesting seeing it from the other side.
Yeah, yeah. And folks, again, Goodbye Stalin, wonderful movie. If you have not seen it, it's very interesting to see that side of Berlin, but it's very interesting why some people would like to still keep it. And it's very interesting storyline behind it. I caught it by accident. But the next time it came on, and I want to say it was like on IFC or something, I was like all over that movie. And I think it was awesome. So again, folks, it's Goodbye Stalin. Check it out.
Our fifth is actually our fifth and sixth interviewees, and you may remember the conversation we had with Yashica Lowe and Tricia Lindsay back on June 19th for episode 31. Yashica and Tricia are working on the Bratz Overseas Book Project, where they are compiling the histories via personal stories for two books. The first one will be about those that attended the Berlin American High School, and the second will be about those that attended all other American overseas schools. And it was a very interesting conversation. I really had a great time talking to Yashica and Tricia. And we got to that point in the conversation, and here's what they had to say.
Okay. Joining me here now is Yashica Lowe, Tricia Lindsay, and we're going to ask those questions that everybody gets asked on the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. And I guess we'll start with Yashica, and then we'll go with Tricia. Yashica, where were you when the wall fell down, and what were you doing, and what were your impressions?
I was in the living room of my mother and father with my husband and my 2-year-old son, and I can't remember why we were there, just visiting grandma and grandpa, and the TV happened to be on, and I remember it felt like the world had stopped because, of course, my dad was the military person as well. You know, we'd all lived there. I mean, the only person in the room, the only two people in the room who hadn't were my 2-year-old son and my husband, and we just couldn't believe it. I remember, I always think, I equate it to what my parents say it was like when everybody heard that JFK died, one of those moments where you won't ever forget where you were, and it felt like the world just stopped for a few moments, and I was just floored. I couldn't believe it, because I really, although that's why we were there, and we always dreamed of the day the wall would come down, there's still that part of me that thought it just never would, and then it was down. I was so disappointed I couldn't be there. But so excited that it had come down, that and that personally for us, it meant more than just a historical moment. Like, I know a lot of people saw it and thought it's a historical moment, but we just, for us, it was a personal moment, a personal victory. And you felt so proud as American citizens that you had a part in that moment in history.
Yeah. Well, I was at my house, actually, and my mother called me, and I went turned the television on, and I was simply flabbergasted that finally something along this line, that the things we had talked about and dreamed about, it was all happening right in front of me. And the only thing, I had that same feeling of regret that I couldn't be there, because I would have loved to have been there. And I was like, man, why couldn't that have happened when we were there? You know,
yes.
Because it would have been perfect timing. I mean, we were teenagers. We would have been down there at the wall.
Oh, yes.
I know that was, you know, we had to take a taxi down there. We would have been down there. And, you know, then I guess almost my second thought was, because I'm a history major, was don't tear the whole thing down. Let's keep some of it. You know, because I could just see the people in the rocking. That's one thing that came to me over there by the Reichstag and by the Brandenburg Gate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just seeing the people rocking the top of the wall back and forth and back and forth. And I remember just the news coverage and the press coverage and them rolling out the tapes of JFK and of Ronald Reagan and everybody saying that the time for that wall to come down was now, and how it wasn't realized in their time frame. And just the history, the sheer spectacle of the history of it, how it got to me. And I can't wait to get back to Berlin to walk past some of those places where the wall was, where you could actually see it, just walking around if you happen to be at different points in the city. to see what's happened. Everyone who's still in Berlin and who's been back to visit tell me that it's nothing like it was when we were there. And I believe it, you know, from all of the pictures I've seen and the video and everything along that line, to think that East Berlin is more popular and more beautiful in some places than West Berlin was just boggles my mind.
Right.
Lastly, our seventh guest is United States Air Force Lieutenant Colonel David Lincoln, who is with the Armed Services Blood Program, who took the time to talk to us about the mad cow deferment that most of us fall under. He did that back on episode 32 this past August 13th, and it was an awesome conversation, but we also took a little time to ask him that question because every guest gets asked that same question. And here, take a listen. This is what he had to say. Lieutenant Colonel David Lincoln is the Air Force Deputy Director of Operations for the Armed Services Blood Program, and when we last interviewed him, we took a little bit of time, and we asked him the following question. Colonel Lincoln, where were you, what were you doing, and what did you feel when the Berlin Wall fell?
Well, I was actually in training. I was new in my Air Force career. I entered the Air Force in 87. And the wall fell in 89, I believe. And so I was training to be a laboratory technician at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. And so I, you know, I probably didn't give it as much thought as I should have. I was immersed in my training. But I do remember that iconic speech that President Reagan made at the time. You know, tear down the wall, and you know, it was just one of those historic events that was captured and was all over the news. It was just incredible.
Have you had a chance to travel to Germany? I mean, since the wall?
You know, I have traveled. I was there 2 years ago, and I actually stayed in what would have been considered the old East Berlin. And it was kind of amazing. Yeah, it really was, to be able to walk around on the streets and think that, you know, hey, there was a time when people were not so independent and they weren't quite free to just, you know, walk down the street and do what they wanted and think what they wanted and say what they wanted. So it was it was interesting to be able to do that.
Well, and you got to go to Berlin, so that's awesome. Was that official assignment, or is that just kind of like on your own?
It was official assignment. I was there actually for a international meeting on blood transfusion, and I was attending some seminars there. And so I, you know, at the end of your day, I just, you know, took some time to walk around the streets and get a feel for the city.
Oh, yeah, she's a grand old city, that's for sure. As we start to wrap up this episode, I again want to give a great big BerlinBrigade.com thank you to Lieutenant Colonel David Lincoln, Yoshika Lowe, Tricia Lindsay, Rebecca Cantrell, Charles R. Sledge, Barbara Engelbrecht, and Eric Stange, and all the other guests we've had this past year. And you know what? We've got more coming. So again, thank you everybody that we've interviewed so far, and all past guests, not just this year, but year before, and back to episode one with the Lieutenant General Jack Woodall. Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone. It's been awesome. It's been a lot of fun, and it continues to be a lot of fun. So, again, thank you for your words, your thoughts, and, of course, as above all, always, thank you for your time. It is greatly appreciated. Well, the time has come to wrap up this episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. As always, I invite you to call and leave a voice message or audio comment on the BerlinBrigade.com hotline at 413-274-4233. Who knows, it might just end up on the show or on the next episode, just like Manny English did with his book signing notice. So again, just give us a call, 413-274-4233, 413-BRIGADE. Also, don't forget, you can always send us comments, concerns, questions, reunion information, and of course, show ideas to dave@BerlinBrigade.com. That's right, by email. Dave, D-A-V-E, at BerlinBrigade.com. Also, if you or someone you know has something to share with us, please drop me a note at, again, Dave@BerlinBrigade.com, and we'll set up a date and a time for an interview, and before you know it, you're on the show. I also invite you to stay up to date with the latest at BerlinBrigade.com by following us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/BerlinBrigade, all one word. Also, be sure to check out the BerlinBrigade.com Cinchcast at their new internet address, www.cinch.fm/BerlinBrigade, for periodic quick site updates and other information. But that's not all. You can also do what over 1,400 of our fellow Berlin Brigade veterans, members, supporters, and fans have done, and that is to join us on the BerlinBrigade.com fan page on Facebook. And you can do that by easily following the links on the BerlinBrigade.com homepage. All of us invite you to come on over and join the great Facebook conversations like those that Gary Mullins, Robert Elliott, Stephen Kuhn, and many others are having. So come on over. Join our conversation. Lastly, I want to take a moment to say domo arigato. Merci beaucoup. Spasiba. Thank you and vielen Dank to all the website visitors from all over this planet. Thank you. I do hope you enjoyed your visit here to Freedom's Virtual Outpost. And please come back real soon. And for you, be sure to come back for our next episode, episode 35, just in time for the Christmas gift-giving season. I will be talking about some great Berlin Brigade-related gifts to give to the Berlin Brigade vet in your life, or supporter, or fan, or collector. Some great stuff out there. So, come back, check it out. Also, we're going to begin a two-part interview that will not only enlighten you to a different aspect of life in the Berlin Brigade, and I know a part of life or something that went on that all of us at one point or another had to do. And if you didn't, you were one of the very few lucky ones, but for the majority of us, we had to do what we're going to be interviewing on here in the next episode. And it will also show you that while many of us that were in Berlin at the same time may have never overtly crossed paths and as part of our mission, because it was what we did was so tightly wound that we were very mission specific. But when something did happen, or something happened to somebody, or someone did something, the ripple effects were felt all throughout the brigade. And I think you will agree when you hear what the next interview is going to be and who it's with, and you hear his story. So listen, until next time, the time has come that's it for episode 34. And again, I thank you for listening to the 34th episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. I am your host, David Guerra. And I thank you for spending this time with me. And I continue our never-ending quest for the key to the clock tower. So if you have it or know who does, trust me, there's amnesty. No questions will be asked. Just turn it over, please. So listen, until next time, goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen. Tschüss.
Sergeant Major, dismiss the brigade! The BerlinBrigade.com podcast is a Dave Guerra production. Thank you.